Hey friend, I'm Mike McCurry. Welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. I want to thank you so very much for taking of your time and joining me right here. I'd ask you to tune your minds and soften your hearts. I'd like you to take a few moments and invest it right here. You already are, I realize, but I'd ask you to give just a little bit more attention than you might usually. We are going to hear through my voice, yes, but we are going to hear today from Dr. Paul Levine, a message that he began preaching, let's see, it would be over 60 years ago. And now I am holding in my hands the very first copy from 1976, 20 years after he started preaching this message. I'm holding in my hands a copy of the first book version of this message. It's called One Step at a Time. And we're going to look at the first point, the first thought that Dr. Paul shares from this message from One Step at a Time. The title of this chapter, the title of this point is God's Will for Your Life. Wouldn't you like to know about God's will for your life? Now you realize this message most usually was preached to teenagers, to young people. And so it's going to deal with themes that deal with young people. And so I encourage you to share this broadcast, maybe with a teenager in your life. Maybe it could be a help to them. But I'd hazard a guess that much of what we talk about will also be a help to you. If you are an adult, maybe you're past some of the things we talk about, you will still hear the ring of authentic truth in what is being said. And it's amazing how God's word and the words of God's man still are so much applicable, even 6+ decades after they were first uttered. Chapter 1 of One Step at a Time, famous message by Dr. Paul. Let me just make this statement as well. We have not yet found a recording of this message. I'd love to find one. If you happen to have one out there, some old tapes of Dr. Paul or something, let me know. Text me at 309-316-7240. That's 309-316-7240. I'd love to get those. We would be happy to send them back to you, but we'd love to digitize them and send them back. But chapter one says, God's will for your life. Dr. Paul says, it is very probable that God wants you to marry. In the Bible, marriage is commended, but not commanded. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable. Commended but not commanded. It may not be God's will for you to marry. If so, remember, it is better to be single and be happy than to be married and miserable. Did I tell you some of the things he says in here would ring very true? There's something a lot worse than being single, and that is to be married to the wrong person. Some of you can't wait to get married so you can leave home. You don't want dad and mom telling you what to do. You want to be free, quote unquote. So you rush to the wedding. You think that marriage is freedom and happiness. Not always. Quite often, it is the beginning of tears, sorrow, misery, and a ruined life. You should read some of the letters I've gotten from young people who are in the depths of misery because they married the wrong person. A young lady wrote to me about how her husband abused her, beat her, treated her like a dog, and she signed her letter a lifer. A lifer is one sentenced to prison for life. No wonder someone has said marriage isn't just a word. Sometimes it is a sentence. Thousands of people are sentenced to lifetimes of drudgery, despair, tears, frustration, and agony because they shook their fist at God and said, I'll marry whom I want. Some say, pick them by their looks. That's the way some people buy automobiles, by their looks. And some women do that. Some men, they don't care if the car has wheels or a motor, just so it has a beautiful upholstery. Besides, your sweetie pie may not always be as beautiful or handsome as he or she is now. Girls, wait till you see that quote-unquote handsome fellow 25 years from now. Shirt off, pot-bellied, bald-headed, and bow-legged. See, Paul Levine, you can tell why he got along with these teenagers. I can just imagine the chuckle that would go through the crowd when he preached that. You're not going to be living just with his or her looks. you're going to be living with that person's disposition. Better check on that, his or her behavior. But you can't always tell by that either. Before they are married, he looks at her so sweetly, holds her coat for her and says, put your little arms in theirs, honey. But some of them, a few weeks after the wedding, yell, hurry up, get your coat on, it's time to go. Before the wedding, he's always hugging her. When they walk the sidewalk, he gets a half Nelson on her so tightly her head is cocked over to one side like a bird in a snare. She can hardly walk. She just stumbles along as he pulls her over to him with his arm around her neck. She thinks it's wonderful. For the next 40 years of married life, everywhere they go, he's going to hug her with the half Nelson. What a surprise that poor girl is in for. Someone has said, love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Another has said, marriage is like eating in a cafeteria. You pick out what looks good and pay later. It's not always that way, but too often it is. In this business of getting married, you need God's wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man living until he acquired 700 wives and 300 concubines or mistresses. A little boy learned about Solomon in Sunday school. The next day he said to his Sunday school teacher, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. He thought Solomon had gotten stung, but he had, badly. You would be wise to pray, Lord, keep me from getting involved with anyone I should not marry. And when you know you should not marry that person, quit dating him or her. If he or she is not right for your mate, then they are not right for your date. Some say, try living together for a while, then decide if you want to marry. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Before you shack up in a school dormitory, a motel, or in your apartment, you had better read Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I also say here, I appreciate Dr. Paul being blunt. I appreciate him being biblical. I appreciate him not being afraid to say what needs to be said. The way, he continues, to get God's best for you. The best school, the best job, the best work, the best church, the best husband is to obey God one step at a time. There are many one-legged Christians who do not want to obey God and take the next step in the will of God. Psalm 73:24 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. God says he will guide you with his counsel, and believe it or not, young folks, he knows more than you do. He knows what's best for you. He knows what will bring you the most happiness, and God is offering to guide you with his knowledge and his wisdom and his counsel. Psalm 48:14 reads, he will be our guide. I wonder how long he'll be our guide. Well, the verse concludes, even unto death. So God is offering to guide you with his wisdom and his counsel all your life. In Proverbs 4:11 we read, he will lead you in the right way. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Jeremiah 10:23 reads, it is not in man to direct his steps. If it's not in man, who needs to do it? God does. What does that mean? It means that you and I don't know enough to run our lives. Does a four-year-old boy know enough to decide what to eat, what to wear, where to go, and what to do? No. That's why you should have a mom and dad to decide for him, to guide him. The boy left to himself wouldn't eat green beans, spinach, or cooked carrots. He would live and die on fudge and ice cream. We'd better let God direct our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. God is saying to you teenagers, I love you. My son died for you. You can be saved and you can go to heaven. And not only that, I will guide you all your life. I will guide you with my perfect wisdom, and I will guide you every step of the way. Let God save you and guide you. He will keep you out of a lot of trouble, sorrow, heartbreak, tragedy, and tears. You're young. You have your life ahead of you. You have the privilege now, if you don't botch up the job and if you don't blow it all, you have the privilege to let Almighty God direct your life step by step. And every step in the will of God is a step towards happiness and joy and peace and usefulness and heaven. If you miss God's plan for your life, you will miss the best life you could have had. For God gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Now note carefully, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp to my feet. It says that first. Then it says it also is a lamp to my pathway. Before God's word becomes a lamp to your pathway, it first has to be a lamp to your feet. You see, as long as you are on your feet, you can only go one step at a time. You can climb on a motorcycle down by the dining room, and the next time your foot touches the ground, you can be downtown in Murfreesboro, 9 miles away. You can take your foot off the ground in New York City, board a 747, and the next time you put your foot down on the ground, you can be in Paris. But you have to be in an airplane to do that. However, as long as you are on your feet, the only way you can travel is one step at a time. Now notice what the Bible says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. What does that mean? That means God's word is a lamp for your next step. The Christian life is not a joy ride. It is a joyful walk. The Christian life is an onward march. It is a race to be run. Now tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to conclude this thought of God's will with a parable that Dr. Paul shares. And we're going to dive straight into chapter 2, titled, How Great Bible Characters Knew God's Will for Their Lives. That sounds like an interesting study. I'd like to know, maybe I can learn something from great Bible characters and God's will for their life. It's amazing how much of his homey, his homespun, folksy wisdom just comes through even in the reading of a message of Dr. Paul's. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that remember Dr. Paul. For those of you that don't, I hope through things like this, you get just a little bit of an idea of the man. He passed away in 1996, and God did a marvelous work. We would not have the Ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated, would not have Bible Tract Echoes, and all the things that we do through this ministry, millions of gospel tracts. You realize we're over 620 million, 620 million gospel tracts around the world because of God using Dr. Paul Levine all the way back in 1938. We have, I say again, a goodly heritage, a wonderful legacy. I'd ask your friend, if you would, to maybe say a kind word to those that have come before, maybe think a kind thought, and pray for those that are finishing their race even now. My prayer, as always, is that you have a great day for his glory. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.